Today, friends, I want us to think, in the rest of our time here together, on a little phrase, really, that we find in this portion of the Word of God that we'd read together. It says there, in the verse number 37, it says, "The waves beat into the ship." The waves beat into the ship. And I want us to think today, for the rest of our service, about the waves that come against the people of God in this world as they seek to walk with God. The waves that come against us to give us what the disciples felt and understood and knew here as they were in the boat here with the Savior. They had that sinking feeling as the waves come in and as the boat filled with water. And the Bible tells us here, the Word of God tells us in that same verse 37, that the ship was now full. And you know as well as I know that whenever a boat fills with water, it's only going to do one thing. It's going to sink. And I want us today, as the people of God, to consider some of the waves that come against us as we seek to walk with God. What we ought to do in the face of those waves, and why God allows the waves to come. Because He does. There are many waves that come against us as we seek to walk with God. I'm sure you'll agree with me in that. The question you need to ask yourself right from the outset of this meeting is, am I walking with God? That's the first thing you need to ask yourself. Am I walking with God? You need to ask yourself that question. You need to answer it honestly before God. Am I seeking to walk with God? In the book of Amos, in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 3, we read these words. "Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Now I want to say, therefore, in the light of that verse from Amos chapter 3, that if you're not in agreement with God, you might be a professing Christian, but if you're not in agreement with God's will, as He has revealed it to us in His Word, then you can't be walking with God. You can't be walking with God. If you're not submitting to God, the authority of God's Word in every aspect of your life, by the grace of God, then you can't walk with God. You can't walk with God except you be in agreement with God. And listen, God won't change His Word to suit your opinions. No. It's our place as the people of God to humble ourselves before the Word of God and to walk in agreement with God. And so ask yourself from the very outset of this meeting, am I walking with God? Because I want to tell you something. If you're not walking with God in agreement with the Word of God, then you're going to see something. You're going to see that actually, you're not facing the waves. You're one of the waves. You're one of the waves that's coming against those who are seeking to walk with God. And that's a terrible place to be, friend. A wave coming against those who are seeking to walk with God. But I tell you, as this message continues, I continue in the will of God in this message, you're going to discover that if you're not facing the waves as you walk with God, you're one of the waves. It's coming against those who are seeking to walk with God. You see, friend, it's not easy walking with God. The disciples here, they were seeking to walk with God. Verse number 35, it says, "The same day when the even was come, Jesus said to them, let us pass over the other side." You may say, big deal. Big deal, what's hard about that? Well, I'll tell you. Here was the Lord, and He was taking His disciples away from their home country, from their family, and the even was coming. Where were they going to rest? Where were they going to sleep? You see, Christ was taking his disciples out of their comfort zone. And I want to tell you, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to be taken out of your comfort zone in this wicked world that we live in. Because it's not a generation where it's easy to walk with God. Our nation is not in such a state that it's easy today to walk with God. And if you're going to walk with God and face the waves, you're going to be taken out of your comfort zone. The word of God stands true in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. It says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do you think that was only for a past generation? Do you think that was only in the good old days that we talk about? I tell you, you try to walk with God today. In our nation that has set itself against God and every precept of His Word. And you're very quickly going to discover that God's going to take you out of your comfort zone. And if you're just finding the Christian life a breeze, and you're just going to think you're going to cruise your way to heaven, I tell you, you're not walking with God. You're not walking with God. Christ took the disciples away from the comforts of home, a family, and it was even, and they were going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I'm not getting into the geography of it. They were crossing over away from the comforts of home. To the other side. Where were they going to sleep? Can you think about that? That's what we would have been thinking. If we'd have been there, where are we going to sleep? Where are we going to lie down? See, the Lord calls us. Didn't Paul say to young Timothy, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus himself say, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me. I tell you, whenever you're called to be a Christian, you're not called to a Sunday school excursion. And you're going to face waves. Many waves. It's plural. Look at it. Verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind and the waves, plural. They'll come in many different fashions, many different shapes, and behind them all will be the one that we wrestle against, the devil himself. He'll come with many waves against us. There are many waves today. Let me quickly go through some of the waves that we face today. And the first one, I believe some of you may even be facing right now, it is the wave of opposition that will arise from your own very fleshly nature. Because I tell you, there's none of us, certainly not this man before you preaching now, there's none of us who really want to face the troubles, the trials, the fights, the struggles of living for God in this world. None of our old fleshly nature wants it. We'd all shy away from it. If we're being honest. We really just want quiet life, trouble-free life. But it's not the life that we're called to as God's people. And we must face that. And we must understand that we're called to conflict. We are on earth the church militant, or we ought to be. Militant. And so the first opposition that you're going to face, and that we all face, and that we all must stand against constantly, is our own fleshly nature that would step back. That would be silent in order to avoid conflict when we should speak in defense of God, in defense of His Word, in defense of our Savior. Is there some of you even now facing that wave? And you're thinking, that's not for me. I just want my nice home. I just want my nice family. I just want everything nice, my nice job, my nice income, my nice motor, my nice holidays. That's just what I want. Well, you can have it if God grants it to you. But one day we're all going to give account. As God's people, we're going to give account for how we've lived as Christians. Remember that. There's a day of reckoning coming. There's a day of accountability for us. And so the first wave that so often comes against us is our own wickedness, our own fleshly nature that would shun hardship so readily. There is, of course, then also the wave of opposition from the world around us. The wave of opposition from the world around us. We live, you don't need me to tell you, today in a nation, in a community that is setting itself against every law of God and is seeking to throw off every restraint that its creator puts upon it. That's the generation we're living in. We're living in a generation that is opposed to every law and command and precept of this book. And you're going to walk with God. You're going to face a wave of opposition from the world around. The world around. Around in the milk run. Don't you be thinking, as I tell you about getting opportunities in Glenullen and in Claray, that's just beside you, that everybody just agrees with you. I could tell you they don't. Been in the shop in Korea a week or two ago when I was in it, you'd have knew there was a lady there didn't agree with the word of God. And she made no secret of it. And she didn't like God's people in the open air preaching the word.
No.
Not a bit. She didn't like it one bit. And she made it obvious that she was against it. And I tell you, friend, if you're going to take your stand in this world, you're going to face a wave of opposition from this ungodly generation. And of course, behind it all is the devil himself. And he'll use whatever sin, whatever he can use to come against God's people as they seek to walk with God. And we all know that today he's using militant Sodomites in our land. Come against God's people and you daren't say a word against them. Do you know anything of these waves, friends? Or brother and sister, are you just settling for the quiet life? I tell you, you speak out. And you'll discover that this world will come against you in a wave of opposition. You'll have a wave of opposition from the world. Sadly, you'll have a wave of opposition in many cases from those who profess to be Christians. Sadly, you'll find much opposition in the church. And I'm not only thinking of what the Free Presbyterians so often referred to as apostates. I'm thinking about even within Free Presbyterianism. How has the world come into the Free Presbyterian Church? I want to tell you something. When I was a young boy in Brookside Presbyterian Church in Ahoho, which might have been referred to from this pulpit as an apostate church, I want to tell you something. I was told that for a Christian girl, a short skirt and tight jeans was a no. Now come to a youth rally. Within Free Presbyterianism. And find out if it's a no.
within the Free Presbyterian Church anymore or not. And we don't need to go into a lot of other subjects. But I tell you, brother and sister, you're going to walk with God. You're going to discover not only opposition, a wave of opposition within your own flesh, within the world around you. I tell you, you're going to find it within the church as well. You're going to find it. Never mind our children not being able to go to the cinema and all our Free Presbyterian children going. Where is the free church today and walking with God? There's a wave of worldliness coming against those who are seeking to walk with God in the church. There's a wave of an action amongst God's people. Where are the labourers today? Where are the labourers in Garva Church today? I don't know. I'm never here. I'm here once a year, maybe for a youth rally mostly. But the work's beginning again in September in all of our churches. The youth work, the children's meeting, the Sunday school. I don't know. But in so many places their individuals are weary because they have nearly all to do. Because so many do nothing. It's a wave of laziness. An inactivity amongst God's people. So many churches. Look at our churches, brothers and sisters. Look how many vacant pulpits we have. Where are the labourers? Where are they? Have they chosen to be carried to the sky in flowery beds of ease while others sailed flew through bloody seas? Where's the labour? Ah, friend. Brother, sister, you're going to walk with God. You're going to face a wave of opposition from within your own heart, from the world around you. You're going to face a wave of opposition from worldliness in the church. And you're going to be discouraged by a wave of inactivity and laziness amongst so many of God's people. And I could go on. There are other waves that discourage. There are other waves that cause the sinking feeling. There's a wave of so much unresponsiveness amongst the ungodly. They come and they go from the services, seemingly so unconcerned. There's so little interest. And I'm sure Garva's no different from Portland Owen. In the community. And in hearing the word of God, so little interest, so many waves, brethren and sisters today, that come against us as we seek to walk with God. And of course there can be waves of personal trouble. Waves of personal trouble. Yours are probably different from mine, but we all can have them. And so there are many waves that come. To give those today who seek to walk in obedience to the word of God. That's just what the disciples were doing here. That's just what they were doing. There's nothing overly complicated about walking with God. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. Jesus said to them, verse 35, let us pass over the other side. And they simply obeyed his word. And they faced the waves. Then secondly today, what are we to do when facing the waves? Well, the first thing we mustn't do is ignore them. They're real. They're real. You put yourself in that boat, brother and sister, and I tell you, you're not going to put your head down and pretend the waves aren't real. You're going to see them. They're coming right at you. You're going to feel them. You're sitting in water or standing in it and the boat's going to sink. You can't ignore the waves. And it's vital today, brothers and sisters, that we don't ignore these waves that are coming against us. But it's vital too that we do what the disciples did, that we do what another man did that we read of in the Old Testament, and we're not turning to it for the sake of time. You all know well the story of Jonah and how Jonah not only was facing the waves, he was cast into the waves. He was below the waves. But what do we read that Jonah did and the disciples did? And it took them a while to do it. You see, why did they not come to the Lord before the ship was full? Why are we so at times slow in coming to the Lord? But it says of Jonah, after being in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights, he says, in Jonah chapter 2, it says, he remembered the Lord. He remembered the Lord. The disciples, they remembered the Lord. He's here with us. The answer is here. The Lord's the answer. And I tell you, he's still the answer. And these are hope. The disciples, they came to him and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I tell you, friends, listen. Face the waves, but remember the Lord. And don't think that he doesn't care. Brother, sister, you're seeking to walk with God today. You remember the Lord when the waves are coming. And don't for one minute think he doesn't care. Because he does care. There are so many verses in scripture we could turn to show you that he cares. One of my favorite verses, Romans 8:32, it tells us, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? My friend, he cares. If I was in a children's meeting and I probably more relaxed in children's meetings, I would say, boys and girls, how do we know he cares? And some of them would put their hand up and tell us, Calvary tells us he cares. The cross teaches us he cares. He died for us to show he cares. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God cares, my friend. 1 Peter 5:7 says that we ought to cast all our cares upon him. For he cares for us. Do you think God cares about perishing souls? Your loved ones? Your family? Does God care that they're perishing? The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Does God care? Does God care about the wretchedness and the fleshly nature that remains in his people? Of course he cares. What did the apostle cry in the book of Romans? He says, who shall deliver me from his body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. My Lord, there is deliverance from the wave of the fleshly nature. Does God care about the world that we live in? Did God not say in 2 Chronicles 7:14 concerning our nation that if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. Does God care? God has promised. Because he cares. Does God care about the worldliness that has come into his church? Jesus Christ prayed about it. John 17:17. He prayed for his people that they would be sanctified through the truth. He prayed, listen, and there was never one prayed with such fervency as Christ prayed. And one part of his great prayer in John 17 was that his people would be holy people. You see, friend, listen. God cares. Does God care about our vacant pulpits? Does God care about the lack of faithful preachers of the Word of God in our nation? Because, listen, we're still blessed in Northern Ireland. We have still so many faithful preachers, but go to Scotland or go to England. We were there on holidays, and I said to my wife, Pamela, if we lived here, we'd probably have to travel 45 minutes to get a faithful preacher. The Word of God. Does God care? Did Jesus not say? Did Jesus not command us to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he might send forth laborers into the harvest field? There was a brother praying it this morning in the prayer meeting, that there might be more laborers. Yes, I tell you, brother and sister, God cares about all the waves that are coming our way. Does God care about your personal trouble? Never man cared like Christ cared. Never. And so let us remember, facing the waves, that God does care. Let us remember that God can work. God can work. Now get that into your head and let it rest in your soul today. Facing the waves, God cares. And God can work. Turn over very quickly to the book of Daniel and read these wonderful words that we read uttered from the mouth of a man who had learned about God, Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse number 35. What do we read about our great God today? Daniel 4, verse 35. We read this. Listen carefully. If you're not looking it up, always follow carefully. It says about our God, he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Friend, brother, sister today, seeking to walk with God, facing the waves that come against us, God cares, but God can work. And none can stay his hand. None can stay his hand. He is able. He is able. Remember that God cares. Remember that God can work. I remember something else. God works in answer to prayer. God works in answer to prayer. That's how God has ordained it. God works in answer to prayer. And so, brother and sister, today, seeking to walk with God, seeking to walk with God, don't pretend the waves aren't coming, but rather allow the waves to cause you to pray. Cause you to pray. And pray with a fervency. And don't get your eyes on others. Because the Word of God says in James 5:16 that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You don't need a whole crowd with you. How often we're all guilty of talking about how few's at the prayer meeting. Listen. It would be nice to see more. It's a bad sign on those who aren't there. But listen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman or young person availeth much. Much. Because prayer is to God, and allow the waves to give you a fervency in your prayer that you never knew before. And I'm not talking about noise. Sometimes people think that to be fervent in prayer you have to be loud. You don't have to be loud. But you have to be burdened. And you have to have a groan and a cry, not only from your lips, but from your heart to God. I tell you, put yourself in the boat, and there'll be a fervency in your praying. And as you come to pray, you stop to think for a minute about the waves that are coming against you as a child, and pray fervently. Pray fervently. Because God works. And God can work, but God works in answer to prayer. And God can work, and I need to finish up. God can work dramatically. He can work quickly. He can work powerfully. He works miraculously. Listen, get into His Word. Facing the waves, not only pray, but get into His Word and encourage yourself as you see how God so often has intervened at times of great need on behalf of His people. And as they cry unto Him. So as you face the waves, remember the Lord. Remember He cares. Remember He works. Remember He works in answer to prayer. But then what is His purposes in the waves? What are the purposes of God in allowing these waves to come against His people as they seek to walk with Him? And what do we discover at the end of our verses that we read from Mark 4, verse 41? It says, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You know what the purposes of God are? God always works. And God always ordains all things for His own glory. For His own glory. And you see, if the disciples never had come through the waves, they wouldn't have seen the Savior rise. They wouldn't have seen God arise. And they wouldn't have seen Him still the wind and calm the waves. And they wouldn't have been left lost in wonder, love, and praise. They would have missed it all. But God, for His own glory, allows the waves to come, in order that we, His people who seek to walk with Him, might cry unto Him, and that then He works for His own glory. For His own glory. And so, brother and sister, today, walking with God, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Maybe you're here today, and as I've preached from the Word of God, maybe you're in some of those waves. Maybe you're the worldly Christian today. Put it right. Not be easy. Put it right. Confess your sin to God. Turn from it. Repent of it. Put it right. Live as God intends His people to live. Walking humbly with Him, submitting to His Word. Put it right. Because I tell you, if you're a worldly Christian, if you're an active Christian, if you're a lazy Christian, you're just one of those waves that's coming against those who are seeking to walk with God. And I wouldn't like to meet God in your position. And maybe you're here today and you're not saved yet. Maybe you're not saved. You don't know anything about the waves that come against God's people as they seek to walk with God. You're right, you don't. But I tell you something. I want to tell you something before I close. And I'll be speaking more about this tonight. There's a day coming for you. If you continue in your sin. Right now, there's an infinite dam that is holding back an infinite wave of God's wrath from breaking upon you. That's where you are right now.
You're just place you yourself now a sinner in front of that damn wall. And I tell you, you know the only thing that's stopping that damn, that wave of God's wrath from breaking through that damn upon you. It's the goodness of God and the grace of God and the long suffering of God that you are living in rebellion against. And we'll be thinking more about that tonight. But the point is this. For you, the dam might burst before tonight. You see, you might not be here tonight. None of us might be here tonight. Christ might have returned before tonight. Or you might be dead before tonight. And if that's the case, and you're still in your sin, you're going to experience the wave of God's wrath forever. Forever. And it'll not matter then if you cry, because God won't care for you. You'll be lost forever. But right now He cares. And right now, if you're still in your sin, I urge you, before you leave this place this day, before you go home for your dinner in the will of God, come to Christ. Turn from your sin and begin from this day to walk with God in the light of His Word. May God bless His Word today to all of our hearts. And we'll just bow together and close our service just in a word of prayer. We'll not have a closing hymn this morning. Let's pray.